Hey, I've got a newsflash for you. This may surprise and shock some of you, but Christianity did not start in America. I know. It did not start in Los Angeles. It did not start in New York. Christianity did not start in Chicago. It didn't even start in Wichita, Kansas. Christianity started in a tiny little town called Bethlehem. That's where Jesus was born, and then it spread to Galilee, and then into Jerusalem, and then Judea, and Samaria, and Rome, and Greece, and Turkey, and Egypt. The Middle East is the cradle of civilization, and Christianity started in that region. And I just came back from an amazing trip to Egypt, my mom and I did, and my heart is still there. My time zones are still there, because I'm still trying to readjust. But we had the best trip ever. I talked about, in part one last week, about my trip. Next week, next Sunday, I'll conclude and I'll talk more about some of the amazing places we went. There are some phenomenal churches in Egypt, built over the place where, you remember when Jesus was a young baby, child, Joseph and Mary took him to Egypt to escape terrible King Herod because he was slaughtering all the babies. And so there have been some churches built there where tradition says Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus were there. And of course, Moses was found in the Nile River by Pharaoh's daughter. There's a lot of history there. I brought back gifts. If you weren't here last week and you didn't get one of these bookmarks that are on papyrus paper, I'd love to give you one. So see me after church, and I'd love to give you a gift that I brought back with me from Egypt. So today is part two in our series that I'm calling Ancient Egypt, Modern Faith. Next week will be part three. Today I have a special guest for you. George was born in Egypt, and I asked him just to come and share his heart about Egypt and what Egypt means to him, maybe even some of the struggles that Egyptians are currently dealing with. You know, we're dealing with inflation here in America. They're dealing with the same thing there in Egypt, perhaps even more so. But Egypt is a very important part of our faith. Plus, it was an excuse for me to see George and his beautiful family. I haven't seen them in a while, and it was just an excuse for them to come and so I can see them and hang out with them a little bit. So George, come and share our heart, and as he comes, I want to say a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the spirit of worship in church today. I thank you that we've gathered here to worship you and to think about our faith and the origins of our faith and to remind us that this world is so much bigger than where we live here. There's a beautiful, expansive globe. People of all different colors and cultures and shapes. And I am fortunate to have experienced just a beautiful country just several weeks ago. And be with George as he comes and he shares his heart. You are using him in a beautiful way and his wonderful family. And I thank you that he was willing to come and share with us today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is George Zakari. I was born and raised in the beautiful country of Egypt. I just moved here 2013 permanently, but I've been coming for visits. It's funny that you mentioned Wichita, Kansas. My first trip, my first destination in the U.S., believe it or not, was Wichita, Kansas back in 2006. I don't know. Maybe that was connected somehow. I don't know. But then I came here in 2007. So I'm going to start with a verse, and we'll go from there. I have about 3 hours. You guys have time today? No? Yes? Five. Oh, dang it. Sorry. I was kind of nervous. I'm going to be honest with you all. When Pastor Jung called me, he's like, hey, George, she came back from Egypt. I was kind of following their trip. I was kind of jealous. I wanted to be with them, but, you know, we can't have everything all the time. So I was kind of nervous when he called me and he says, hey, George, can you speak at my church and talk your heart? And I was like, man, what can I speak about? Like, I'm just really nervous. I don't know what I have to say. I don't think, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not, you know, but he's like, just speak your heart. And even till, you know, maybe an hour ago, I was just talking to my beautiful wife back there. And I said, Katie, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. She's like, just share what's on your heart. Amen. And that just, you know, God is reassuring that whatever I'm going to be saying today, I know that God is going to be maybe talking to one or two or three. I don't know what God is going to use, what I'm going to share. But I know that God works in amazing ways. I don't know what that is, and I don't really need to know. I just have to share what he, you know, what God has done in my life and my family's life. So my wife, Katie, back there, and I have my beautiful daughter, Gamila. She's almost two, and my son, Zico, is 3 years old. I love what I have, and I'm so grateful for it, and I'm so blessed. So I'm going to start with the verse really quick, and I'll take you throughout my journey, and we'll go from there. So Jeremiah 29:11, I'm sure you all know this verse, but this means so much to me. It means so much to me, it means so much to my family, it means so much to our experience together as we grew up, even with our marriage and everything that we've been through together, my wife and I. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Well, I didn't believe in that. I was a 5-year-old little boy who was taken away from what he knew at the time was everything, which is his grandparents' house, and put into this place away from his grandparents who took care of him, and put in this place, and supposedly he was told that this place is better. I was like, wait a minute, how is that better from the love I'm getting from my grandparents? So I did not believe in this in the beginning. So plans to prosper yet. I was like, no, I'm with my loving grandparents who took care of me with everything they got. Even though they had nothing, they gave us everything. Sammy, do you mind putting my grandparents' picture up there, if you don't mind? So I wanted to share with you really quick who they are. The sweetest people you'll ever meet in your life. So my grandma is, her name was Angel. It actually, her name was Elise, believe it or not. But her name, she went by Angel, and she was truly an angel. And my grandpa, Zeki, and I named my son Zico. His nickname was Zico, so I named my son Zico after him to honor him. These people right here had nothing. They absolutely have nothing. My grandma loved God. She would always pray for us. She always, like, just no matter what, she says, trust God. Trust God. Trust God. And she would always pray for us. She loved God, even though she had nothing. She didn't love God because he gave her everything. She absolutely had nothing, you guys. We grew up in with our grandparents. I'm one of four brothers. This is an older picture of us. I like to show that because it doesn't look like that now. So that's my oldest brother, Ahmed. And then this is me and Ibrahim, and Hani is our youngest. Three of us, my brother, the youngest brother wasn't there yet, grew up with our grandparents. What I remember from my childhood, I'm going to go back why that verse didn't make sense to me, and I struggled with it for a long time, is that when we grew up, we had nothing with our grandparents. Literally, our house was built out of bamboo sticks. The roof, there were seasons. It rains in Egypt, believe it or not. We grew up in the countryside of Egypt, so it was about 3.5 hours north of Cairo, where people literally had nothing. There was no... Believe it or not, there's no sewer, no electricity, no water. And we had to go about 3 blocks with jugs to get water. We used these like gas lamps, like little kerosene lamps. That's the source of light for us. There's to be a hole in the ground, and that was the source of sewer for us. But there's a lot of progression to that. And I look back, and there's a lot that God has done for us and for my family. So I grew up with my grandparents knowing, man, they love us. They absolutely had nothing, but we felt their joy, and we felt that they gave us everything, even though they had nothing to give us, you guys. Later on in age, they ran out of resources. My grandpa would do everything in his ability to take care of us, but ran out of resources, and he's like, I need a better future for them. I need a place that would truly take care of their needs. And somehow with the connections of my grandma's sister who lived in Cairo, knew about this place. It's called the orphanage, the Helwan Boys Orphanage. When the word orphanage comes to mind, I'm just going to throw out that name and then tell me what you guys think. What kind of, what comes to your mind? When I say an orphanage, please share with me. What word comes to mind? Children. What else? Children who have no family. What else? No parents. No. Love, okay. I wonder why you're saying love, because I know why. So, orphanage, like the word orphanage itself has a really negative connotation in the world that we're living in. However, what we and my brothers have experienced was completely opposite. I'm going to go back again to what, you know, the verse says, "For the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you future and a hope." And that orphanage place is more of like a boarding school for us. It was really nice. So in order to get us in there, like literally my grandparents would like, it was so hard on their heart to send us away, but they knew that this is the right place for us. So they put us in the orphanage. I was mad. As a young kid, you got to think about, you know, I'm a 5-year-old. Already, I didn't talk about my parents, but my parents didn't want anything to do with me. They didn't have the resources. They didn't have the knowledge. They didn't have the capacity to take care of their children. So neglected us. Grandparents took us on. Now grandparents, you got to think of, okay, you got to put yourself in my place. They took us on and they just left us at this place, right? And they were like, okay, you're good now. You're going to be good. And I was mad. I heard a lot in the orphanage in the beginning of my time there that God is good. God loves you. God cares for you. He has a plan for you. I was like, no, you don't understand. I've been stripped away from everything. Everything I thought was good was taken away from me. That doesn't make any sense. I had a lot of hatred in my heart. Not hatred towards my parents. Hatred towards that God that says, hey, I love you. I didn't understand why God loves me. And he, parents didn't take care. And grandparents did their best, but they kind of let us go. So I was heartbroken. I was stubborn in opening my heart to anything that God has to say. So, just pictures. I was actually scrolling in the internet. I didn't have these pictures. I'm not kidding you. I put Boys Helouan Orphanage on the internet, and I found this. This is so awesome. This is me. I'm in the middle back right there. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't have that picture, so it's back there. And on the far right, that's my oldest brother. And then the second from the left, that's my younger brother, Ibrahim. So that was pretty cool to see. And I'm like, man, we're here. Yeah, so let me tell you about this orphanage that we built. And let me tell you something really quick, how we're all connected here. Because I know that God works in amazing ways. And so in 2007, I started coming to Camp Harlow. Are you familiar with Camp Harlow? Amen. Camp Harlow, I was invited by a couple of missionaries that their church back home here in Eugene, Oregon, all the way from Cairo, was First Baptist Church, and Camp Harlow was connected to them. And later in years, I was invited to come to be a counselor, and that's where I met my wife, Katie. We met in 2007, but started dating and getting married then in 2013 and 11. But when we were just engaged, she worked at a daycare, and that daycare was in Springfield here, and Katie had the urge to ask one of the parents about Roman, your nephew, and your grandson, Miss Mary, and says, hey, my husband somehow said my fiancé was from Egypt, and James, Pastor John's brother, says, yeah, I'm from Egypt originally. My parents are from Egypt. And Katie brought up that I was raised in this orphanage in Egypt in this particular town called Helouan, and James was like, wait a minute. There's only one evangelical or Christian boys' orphanage that my grandparents built many, many years ago. That was the only one. And can you ask George if he knows so-and-so, Tante Lucy? He said, can you ask him if she knows somebody by the name of Lucy? And she asked me. I was like, wait a minute. Now I'm freaked out. How do you know that name? She's like, well, I met this little boy at my daycare that I take care of, and his dad is from Egypt, and his grandparents, they live over here. Like, the whole connection, I was like, that is just amazing. I can't believe my eyes. So I look back at everything, and just everything is just connected. So Miss Mary's parents, many years ago, built this place in Helouan, Cairo, that I grew up in. I met hundreds of children there. That place over there, you guys, had so much love. People that truly cared. People that truly wanted to serve and take care of children. There were programs there to learn. We went to school, and after school, we had people there to do more schooling with us to help us with our school. So there's organized. We had skills like carpentry. They had all sort of things. And we had so many people that come from different churches, international, like the couple that I met through the orphanage, that came to the orphanage to meet with us and started teaching us English at their home, which was about 45 minutes away from the orphanage, along 13 other people, the same group of us, that we just... There's so many things that God did to our lives, me and my brothers, that I look back and say, for God knew that He has plans for us and plans to prosper and not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future. So fast forward many years later, I get connected with Miss Mary and Pastor John and James and Tanya and Roman and Micah and Caleb and Renee, and I'm connected to these people, and God just, you got to think about this, a little village that I was born in and I grew up in, moved to Helouan, which is the most north that you can go in Cairo, into coming to Eugene, Oregon, to volunteer at a camp where I met my wife, and then where I meet the family that their family built the place I grew up in back in Egypt. God is good. He connects us in many mysterious ways, but He does. My message today, you guys, I just wanted to share that we go through struggles in our lives. No matter where we are right now, you could be going through your own thing. In fact, all of us go through our own things, and we doubt a lot that God is good and God has your back, basically. We struggle sometimes when we don't see what we want to see. But I look back at my life. I look back at my life with my wife and everything from my upbringing to everything that I've experienced throughout my life. And I say, God is truly amazing. It's like He's up there. He sees the bigger picture. We don't. We just focus on what we're focusing on right now and the struggle. And we're all human. No one is perfect. So we struggle. We doubt. But if anything that I want to leave with you today with my story is that God has the perfect plan for you. God has the perfect plan for your children. God has the perfect plan for you, young ones. If you're doubting right now or going through fear of any sort, God has a good plan for you. And His plan and intentions, no matter what the circumstances are, even though you don't understand what's happening right now, you don't understand. I didn't understand what was happening. Fast forward from 5 years being in an orphanage, I'm mad. My heart is really stubborn. When I was 10 years old, the orphanage, we used to have a lot of internationals and a lot of expats that would do some sort of revival week, you know, where we have, it was full of love. It was full of God's word. It was an evangelical orphanage. So truly people that worked there, you know, I'm not going to say everything was perfect. There were some painful things that happened, but again, overall, God is good, and He takes everything that happens in our life and turns it into something that can glorify Him or uses that to help somebody else in our lives. Fast forward, when I was 10 years old, I was in the chapel, the church. We had actually a building quite similar to this in the orphanage, and that building there, we would have like meetings and we would learn about the Bible. But there was this one day that everybody said, okay, everybody's sitting down. It was about, I want to say, 80 kids. When I say kids, it's all sort of ages. I mean, you have from 6 all the way to like 18, right? And there's people that came and they were sharing the word. And one of the people that was speaking said, hey, time of prayer now. This is going to be really powerful. They turned off the lights. And they said, we're going to pray. Everybody, please stand. Everybody pray, and I was like, you know what, I just don't get it. I'm not going to pray to that God that just, I don't think He loves me. I don't think He cares about me. And they started praying, they started praying. And I just could feel something that came out of my heart. The stubbornness that I had, the hard shell that I had in my heart of hate was breaking down, and I was just crying uncontrollably. And this lady came. I don't remember her name. I was 10 years old. I could remember her face. She came and tapped on my shoulder and says, "Hey, can I pray with you?" In the beginning, I said, "I don't know." She says, "Can I pray with you?" And she says, and I said, "Yes, please do." Okay. She started praying with me, and I cannot stop crying. And that day, she had told me that I need to accept Jesus in my heart. That will change my life. And that's the first time that I felt like the walls that I had built in my life and in my heart against God, against my parents, that were shattering. And I felt like there's a connection that I have that I need to start. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to assure again that the plans that God had for me, plans to prosper, to give me future, and to give me hope. God takes us through circumstances, no matter what they are. He has a purpose. We don't understand what they are, but He has a purpose with that. We just need to start believing that God has a purpose. God has hopeful things for the future. And I'm here today to let you know that if you would have told me this story of this little boy who grew up in Egypt in the orphanage to be here today. I've been living here since 2007. I met my wife at Camp Harlow and we got married in 2013. I came on a fiancé visa in 2013, even though I've been coming since 2007 and 8 and 11 to marry my wife. It's literally that show, 90 Day Fiancé. I don't know if you're familiar with it. That show actually came after our experience that we had. It's so dramatic what they have. But like, we had to go through that process with the visa and everything. But it was awesome. Like, we truly seen God. I mean, my wife remembers too. Like, we went through, there was a revolution happening at the time. The embassy couldn't let people in. Like, there was just so much that we've seen God's hand orchestrating everything. And not just that situation. It's over and over and over. My message to you today that God has plans, and the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you future and hope. I'm here today, and I'm so, so, so blessed. God has poured out so much blessings over me, over my brothers, and over my family. And I'm not sure why He's done that, and He continues to do that. But I am so grateful for it. God is so good, and He does have lots of plans for you. But you have to receive Him. You can't be stopping from, like, hey, I'm just going to let that person come into my life, but you're not opening the door. That doesn't work, right? Right? You knock, you go, you have to take initiative. You have to start doing something from there. And then with the fact that it's just amazing, the entire thing, I see like what God has done for me and everything, that's just amazing. I've worked so many jobs in my life, and in every job that I have had, God tells me that you got to put, you know, God first, put people second, take care of people, and then the rest will follow. And I've been really, really blessed. I've been really blessed with my business now, been really blessed with everything that we have. I am so incredibly grateful for everything that's given to us. And then the bigger picture, you guys, that I see, that orphanage that was built by Pastor John's grandparents, that was a huge blessing and continues to be a huge blessing to so many kids. The kids I grew up with, they're more brothers than me. Like, you know, of course my brothers are my blood brothers, but they're brothers as well. We grew up together. There was so much love. There was so much that was given to us. There were so many opportunities that were given to us through the orphanage and through the people that came to the orphanage. So I just want to let you know that people back home now, the economy is really, really tough for them. Really tough. I mean, I was there back in April, about a year and a half ago, and I'm just going to give you a really random number. I used to buy the rotisserie chicken for 35 pounds, which is the Egyptian coin. When I was there last, that was a year and a half ago, that rotisserie chicken was about 100 pounds. It's the same people, same jobs they have. There are no raises or anything, but everything has gotten really hard. This past few months, for 6 months, with the inflation skyrocketing, it has even gotten worse and worse and worse. Like, worse and worse. What I'm saying is, we all go through our things. So keep people in prayer, pray for them, pray for this situation. I know that here we have our own struggles as well, but God had truly blessed people here. We have so much here that I am so grateful for. And we just need to be able to open our eyes and pray for people around us and people in other places as well, because they need that support. They need that love from you. So if anything I'm walking away again from today, God knows your needs. Amen. God knows your hearts. And he's here today to let you know that I see the bigger picture. You just have to trust me. There was a little story that I was told in the orphanage. Actually, I remember that really clear. Like, there was some sort of a ship on in the ocean, and there was a captain. His son was part of the crew, not the crew, sorry, but on board along with his family and other people. They were going on some sort of a trip. And the ocean started being really rocky, really rocky. People started panicking on the ship. They were like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And there was talk about the captain, like, fleeing the ship or something. So everybody started, like, getting, like, you know, those, like, rescue boats and stuff and getting ready to go. And they're starting to, and this little boy is staying where he is and he's not moving. And one guy just noticed that little boy's like, hey, you got to get ready. Let's put on your life vest. The captain is fleeing the ship. Let's go. And he looked at them and said, that is impossible. I know my father, and my father would never leave me. And he's got this. This is just a picture in my mind all the time that no matter how rocky, no matter how stable, God is our Father. And he's got your situation no matter what. You just have to trust and have that faith that he's not going to leave you behind. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and future. Amen.